As always, Masha tells you stories and welcomes you to the 10th episode of the podcast Film Grazia Artis, or just Film, if shortly. Here I share tales that inspire and reveal unique experiences of creators, makers and lovers of all kinds. I hope you find this program interesting and encouraging whatever you do. Practice art, enjoy living and learning about other people's creativity, backgrounds and anxiety, as well as special ways creative people deal with it. Anxiety disorders are increasing across various age and social groups, and this rise is linked to a complex interplay of factors, including extensive social media use, academic and economic pressures, and changing global dynamics. Additionally, factors like personal experiences, genetics, and mental health conditions can also contribute. There are specific factors that influence emotional balance, and social media is one of them. Excessive use of it often leads to comparison and feelings of inadequacy, and can lead to anxiety, particularly among young adults. Another factor is academic pressure, which is ordinary for teenagers and youth who find themselves in competitive environments like schools, colleges, and universities. Such pressure can trigger nervousness. While youth experience pressure to study, adults deal with job insecurity, financial worries, and other economic stress that affects the overall cost of living, contributing to the increased level of unease. All of us worry because we have this skill, and we learned it well when we were kids and teens, and we brought this superpower to our adult life. Personal traumatic incidents can increase the risk of developing anxiety disorders, which are often linked to other mental health conditions like depression, and can be a symptom of other disorders that some of us could inherit or develop due to individual vulnerability. However, it's important to note that environmental factors and life experiences also play a crucial role in the development of anxiety. The environment can impact nervousness through factors like climate, crime levels, environmental pollution, and exposure to toxins. Nowadays, changing global dynamics, pandemic risks, economic uncertainties, and other global events have also played a significant role in the rise of emotional unease. Thus, we may come up with some questions. Why is anxiety so common in the modern world? Are there any vulnerable groups of people? Can we state that there is an epidemic of nervousness? Is life more stressful than 30 years ago? Can anxiety be cured, or can we cope with it in an ecological way? The World Health Organization, by the end of 2024, published an overview of the research that highlights the problem that everyone experiences emotional unease from time to time. But for those with anxiety disorders, the fear and worry can become overwhelming and persistent. These emotions are often intense and hard to manage, and they are usually accompanied by physical tension, changes in behavior, and troubling thoughts. Without proper support or treatment, these feelings can last a long time and significantly disrupt daily life, affecting relationships, school, work, and overall well-being. While anxiety disorders can be effectively treated, only about 1 in 4 people who need help receive it. Several barriers prevent access to care, including a general lack of awareness that nervousness is a treatable medical condition, underfunding of medical health services, a shortage of trained professionals, and the persistent stigma surrounding mental health issues. There were no significant interactions between gender and race in the prevalence of comorbid anxiety or mood disorders among individuals with lifetime incidents of worry. Girls and women are more likely to experience emotional disorders than boys and men, according to the World Mental Health Survey in 21 countries. The 2024 results of the American Psychiatric Association's annual mental health poll show that U.S. adults are feeling increasingly anxious. In 2024, 43% of adults say they feel more anxious than they did the previous year, up from 37% in 2023 and 32% in 2022. Anxiety and depression were the most common mental health problems in the European Union before the COVID-19 pandemic, followed by alcohol and drug use disorders, bipolar disorder, and schizophrenia. Emotional disorders affected an estimated 25 million people, followed by depressive disorders, 21 million people, and drug and alcohol disorders, 11 million people. Mental health has worsened worldwide since the pandemic, according to World Health Organization. In June 2024, revealed that almost 1 in 2 people had experienced emotional or psychological problems, such as feeling depressed or anxious, in the previous 12 months. That's why many mental health experts and researchers describe the current situation as an epidemic of anxiety, not in the sense of a contagious disease, but in terms of its widespread, escalating prevalence and significant social impact. Since epidemic is not a clinical term, it captures the scale, urgency, and collective dimension of anxiety in the modern world. It's a call for systemic awareness, better mental health infrastructure, and cultural shifts toward care and balance. Recent research published by the American Psychological Association finds that people today are feeling more stressed than they generally did 30 years ago. Gen Z adults and younger millennials are completely overwhelmed by stress. Not knowing what your future is going to look like in a world where nobody knows what the collective future is going to look like is overwhelming. Young adults are reporting higher stress levels than older generations, with 18 to 34-year-olds saying their average stress level is 6 out of 10, compared with 3.4 among people ages 65 and older. For many people, the mental and emotional load has increased, even if physical hardship has decreased in some regions, thanks to modern technologies. Our stressors now are often more abstract, chronic, and global, making them harder to resolve or escape. But it's also important to remember that everyone experiences this increase equally. Individual circumstances, resilience, and support systems play a huge role. Emotional disorders, particularly clinical anxiety, may not always be cured, but it can absolutely be managed, and in many cases, significantly reduced or even resolved. The idea of curing is evolving. The more sustainable and empowering perspective is to ask how we can live with emotional unease in a healthy, ecological way, to give our nervous system a chance to live without overwhelming. Many know about spotting symptoms, organizing health rituals, exercising, and self-compassion, but there is also something that provides us with physical experience of coping with worry and having the tangible physical results of this work. Creative processes, especially textile art, can be profoundly healing for anxiety. While they may not offer a cure in the medical sense, they can alleviate symptoms, restore nervous system balance, and cultivate a deep sense of calm and meaning. In this sense, textile art becomes a therapeutic practice, similar to meditation or somatic therapy. Working with fabrics, thread, or yarn engages the sense of touch, which is one of the most powerful tools to calm the nervous system. Textiles are soft, repetitive, and forgiving, a perfect medium for someone seeking grounding and gentle focus. Stitching, knitting, weaving, these actions follow a predictable rhythm. This repetition helps to reduce intrusive thoughts, regulate breath and heart rate, induce a flow state, mirror mindfulness practice. Textile art often becomes a canvas of personal memory, symbolic healing, or emotional release. Stitching grief, hope, or transformation into fabric lets the maker externalize emotions safely. When life feels overwhelming, crafting a tactile piece, especially one that is soft, beautiful, or useful, offers a sense of control, accomplishment, and harmony. You make meaning and beauty from raw material, mirroring internal repair. Textile traditions are often communal, quilting circles, embroidery groups, or even mending communities. These shared spaces can ease isolation and remind us we are part of a longer human lineage of resilience and creativity. Unlike digital distractions, textile art is slow. It teaches patience, presence, and attentiveness, antidotes of the hyperspeed of the modern life that often fuels anxiety. Among the creative individuals, there are many who have discovered this healing tool a long time ago. Many use fiber and thread to heal their wounds, while others provide vulnerable groups with rather ordinary but helpful media of self-repair. Claire Wellesley-Smith is one of them. She is a British artist, writer, and educator whose work beautifully blends textile art, slow practice, sustainability, and community engagement. She is best known for her philosophy of slow stitch, which emphasizes mindfulness, reflection, and emotional connection through the act of hand stitching. The core themes of her work are meditation while working with thread and reflections of such experiences. She highlights slow stitching as a practice, considering this a mindful act that allows individuals to connect with themselves and their surroundings. Her project often used simple, repetitive hand stitches, focusing less on precision and more on presence and process. Emotional repair through textiles is the aim of every stitch, and this makes stitching a metaphor for mending and healing. Her work invites participants to slow down, reflect, and use fabric and thread to tell personal or collective stories. Claire often works with natural dyes, found fabrics, and historical textiles, enhancing a sense of memory and continuity. Many of her projects involve local communities using textiles as a way to share experiences, histories, and emotional landscapes. She's interested in the ecology of cloth, particularly in how materials, people, and places are interconnected. The heroes Claire encourages to stitch are older adults, immigrants, and groups dealing with loss or mental health challenges, but stitching keeps them sane. Claire's philosophy is not about perfection, but about being present, feeling, remembering, and caring, both for the cloth and for oneself. She sees textiles as witnesses of time and tools for reconnection. She says, working slowly allows time to reflect on life, a place, or a history. It allows space for memory and connection. If you're drawn to using textile work as a gentle introspective practice, or if you're interested in designing your healing through a stitch project, Claire Wellesley Smith's work is a profound place to start. In a world that often moves too fast and feels too overwhelming, turning to quiet rhythm of thread and fabric can be an act of healing. Textile work invites presence, care, and a return to the senses, reminding us that even amid anxiety, we can stitch moments of peace into our days. As we reconnect with our hands, our breath, and the material world, we also begin to reweave our sense of self. In every loop and line, there is a space of recovery, reflection, and renewal. Let each stitch be a gentle reminder. Healing can be slow, but it is always possible. Let it nurture the body, mind, and spirit, offering relief, expression, and reconnection in a world that often pulls us away from ourselves. And I will be back soon